If you have a seat, would you say thanks to these guys for leading in worship? Some of them are members of our main Cross Ridge worship team, and all of them are also members of our student worship team, and it's so great to allow them to get to minister in that way. As you can tell, the room is kind of full, and so if there's a chair next to you, would you kind of scoot in so that we can make room for some people who are here? If you didn't hear the introduction at the beginning of the service, welcome to Disciple Now Sunday. This is our 11th Disciple Now weekend, and what Disciple Now is our in-town student life group retreat. And so about 200 of our students have been in host homes all across this side of San Antonio. And it is a retreat because they've been meeting in their life groups in those host homes. And we've had two worship services here at the building. Yesterday, we had some service projects and some great free time. And it's a life group retreat because that's the core of what we do and how students experience DNOW in their life group. And it's my privilege this morning. If you don't know me, my name's Chris. I'm the pastor of Students and Families this year. Or not this year. It's been a long weekend. I'm the pastor of Students and Families at this church. And it has been an amazing weekend. It's been one that we've been praying for several months now, been planning for. And I want to take this opportunity just to thank some people. And the first group of people that I just want us to tell them how much we love them are these students right here, because they are some amazing people. Would you just affirm them? There were over 50 volunteers that make DNOW happen, and that's more than we had at our first Disciple Now, or second Disciple Now too, as well. And they helped us out in host homes, in meals, in helping with transportation, and helping just really provide a place and a space for our students to experience Jesus. And so if you were a part of one of those teams, I just want to say thank you to you. And then I also want you to know that there are some of my heroes in the room. If you're one of our life group leaders, would you guys just stand up? We want to acknowledge you and the sacrifice that you make to minister to our students. We had over 20 of our out-of-town college guest leaders come in, and that is awesome. And after doing this 11 years, it's been one of my great privileges to see some of our former students who are in college or even out of college come back and participate in that part of Disciple Now. It's just awesome. And then there is Austin, Jesse, Eli, Pam, Christy, Lex, Peyton, Trisha, David, Ray, and Serena. Without these guys, Disciple Now really wouldn't be possible. And so I wanted to say thank you. And then... And when I started this job, I never knew that I would be the youth pastor to my own teenage daughters. And I always want to say thank you to Anne-Marie and my girls for putting up with me during a week like Disciple Now. But most importantly, I want to tell you that right now that I know of, 12 students gave their lives to Jesus Christ for the first time last night. And that's just a miracle. It's so amazing to get to be a part of something like that. And there are so many stories that I could tell you about how God moved this weekend. And when you've been through 11 Disciple Nows, you begin to try to think, was this one better than the last one or whatnot? Where do they rank in the years? I know you're not supposed to do that, but it always is that the one that we're experiencing is the best one. And it was so amazing to watch your students respond to Jesus this weekend, and just respond to him, some for the very first time, and some to rededicate their lives, and some to understand what God's doing in the community called Life Group, or their life group here at Crossbridge. And that just got me to thinking about some of the things that Paul says to the church in the New Testament. And I just want to read a few of those as reminders that Paul himself never ceased to be amazed about how we became Christians, about how God took a heart that was dead and brought it to life. Listen to how he describes it in Romans. He said, "This we know, that our old self was crucified with him. It was put to death with Jesus so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin." We could be free from sin. Listen to how he told the church at Corinth, "Consider your call, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards." Because there were some sixth graders that walked down that aisle last night. And so God said, "Hey, I do this. I choose the foolish in the world to show wisdom. He also told the church at Corinth this in 2 Corinthians, you are a letter written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of the human heart. To think about that, that how you apply what happens in church, what happens in these four walls, is to remember that you are a letter that God is using outside these four walls to share a message with people. And he, God, wrote that letter on your hearts. He told the church at Galatia, did you receive my Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? There's nothing good that you could do on your own to receive salvation, to become alive again. No, you receive it by faith. And then in Ephesians, he reminds us that you who were once dead in your trespasses and sins, God, he made you alive. And that was our focus for the weekend. We began to say, Jesus is worthy. And like the Bible teaches us, he's worthy of so many different things that if we tried to write them down, they would fill a book and it would be just, you just have to keep on writing. But at the near top of that list would be this idea that Jesus is the only one who can take a dead heart and make it alive. And that happened this weekend, and it was amazing. And I'm so excited for you to get to hear a part of that story this morning. And when we landed on that idea that Jesus is worthy, and that's what we wanted to center our weekend around, that's what we just sang about as Austin and the guys led us in worship, my heart for this season that we call our worship services was just drawn to the Gospels, to the stories of Jesus and his interactions with people. Because if you're not familiar with the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels are the stories of Jesus's real life encounters from people written down by these guys, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but as they would remember the encounters that Jesus had with people. And I don't know what brought you to church this morning. I don't know what circumstances brought you to church this morning, but here's what I do know, that there's a big difference between what those guys were experiencing in the world in those days and what we experience in the world today. There's not a whole lot of difference in the heart of a person. Despair is despair. Depression is depression. Knowing that my wife might leave me tomorrow, that feeling, that it's the same, right? And so we have a chance when we look at the Gospels and we look at these stories to just have to see a window straight into the heart of God. So we've been walking through these Gospel stories, and there's one I want to read for you this morning. It's Jesus's encounter with Peter at Caesarea Philippi, which is the mouth of the Jordan River. The other disciples that were there, but as you'll see in a second, Jesus turns his focus to Peter because of a statement that Peter made. But what I need to tell you a little bit of context behind it is that Caesarea Philippi is the mouth of the Jordan River. And so as you can imagine, because there was water there, because there was a source of life there, people would come there on a daily basis, wash their clothes, get water for making food, and all that kind of stuff. But it was also a place of Roman and Greek worship because there's a mountainside. I've seen it with my own eyes. I got a chance to go there a few years ago. There's a mountainside right there at the mouth of the Jordan River, and the Greeks had hewn out these little shelves, these kind of places on the side of the mountain where they would put the statue of their gods. And so it is at that place that Jesus would ask this question, who do you say that I am? And you see, if we don't understand the context behind the story, then we miss it. It just looks like a casual conversation, right? Who do you say that I am? Well, you're Chris, thanks. And I keep on moving on, right? But here's the deal. Jesus, in the context of these foreign idols and in the context of everyday life, as men and women would get water, he asked this question. So let's just read together what Matthew said about the encounter. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said to him, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Who do people think the promise, the one who all these promises are about, who do people say that that person is? And some thought it would be John the Baptist, Elijah, others Jeremiah or the prophets. Now watch what Jesus does. He looks at them and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter replies quickly, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, and Jesus answers back to Simon Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," that means son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." It's at this point that my message this morning is gonna get a little messy. Because for me, I just want to bring you behind the scenes for a second. Like D-Now prep looks, for the message part of it, looks like about a month-long process, right? Because I got other things I got to do. And so I'm kind of preparing for those messages and just journaling down some thoughts. And just if I bring you behind the scenes for a second, I was pretty sure where God wanted me to help our students, to guide them in that conversation for Friday night's message. And I was pretty sure where God was guiding my thoughts for Saturday night's message. And then I came to just journaling some thoughts a couple of weeks ago about Sunday, and I'd written down this passage. It's one of my favorite passages. I was pretty sure that God, that this was the direction. And then as weeks passed into or turned into days, again, more clarity for Friday night, more clarity for Saturday night. But there's just on the Sunday page just written this passage. And I'm like, hey, God, if you want to give me some more clarity sometime soon, I'd be really pleased with that. And then those days turned into the last 48 hours. And I was still confident that this was the passage, but God began to show me some different things about myself, right? Because just pride just started to show up all over the place. Like, God, there's gonna be a bunch of adults there. This isn't just Wednesday night with students. This isn't just Sunday morning in the ablaze shed or in building B. There's a bunch of people gonna be there. So could you kind of help me out here? Pride in the form of wondering, hey, you know what? If I don't have something meaningful to say, maybe next year. He's never done it before, but maybe next year, Pastor Kirk says, you know what? I don't think Sunday morning's a great use of that. That's a great use of your time, Chris, for D-Now. We'll do something different. And if that wasn't enough, early this morning, I'm sitting with my Bible and my journal and my computer just trying to put some thoughts down, hoping the Lord just kind of just does that miracle thing that he sometimes do. And I have last night's presentation open, and what's staring at me in the face is like this grammar error that I made on like 8 different slides. You're a loser, right? Just pride all over the place. And God was clearly helping me understand that there's a message for me in the details of preparing the message about my pride. But I'm saying back to God, God, that still doesn't help me, right? Because Sunday morning is here and I need something to say. And then it dawned on me, when you're trying to express to somebody why he is so worthy, why he is worthy of everything, sometimes mere words just won't do it. And that's what we see at the heart of this story. Hey, Simon Peter, flesh and blood could not have revealed that to you. Only a good father who lives in heaven could open your eyes to see the Messiah. And clearly what Jesus was communicating to me, and it is like so often some of us do, this is what Jesus was communicating to me, but clearly like some of us most often do, I just wasn't listening. And like I shared with you, I love this passage. There are some things that I could just tell you right off the top of my head because I've studied it several times, but the more I pressed into that, the more I realized that Jesus was just saying, get out of the way, Chris. Because there are things that flesh and blood cannot impart. And so a couple of weeks ago at Easter, if you were here, you witnessed Pastor Kirk use as a part of his message some cardboard testimonies. And in preparation for that, we knew we wanted some of our students to be a part of that. And so the Wednesday night before Easter, the two Wednesday nights before Easter, we passed out those 3x5 cards if you guys were here. And they filled those things out. And as we knew, we could only use so many of them. My heart was just amazed to see the response of some of our students and the way that God's working in their lives. And so I kind of had circled today as an opportunity for them to just share with you what flesh and blood can't impart. And so I want to invite Daniel to come up on stage. And in a few minutes, you're going to just get, or in a few seconds, you're just going to get to see our students testify to what God's doing in their lives. And here's the deal. The Bible teaches us that that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so today, as you view each one of these slides or each one of these cardboard testimonies, remember this, that that God's gonna use that to reveal something to you that I could never do in just mere words. Oh, by the way, flesh and blood will walk across this stage a number of times, but something happens when we get to see what God's doing in other people's lives. And so as these guys get ready, would you kind of take your place and let's see what God's been doing in our students' lives. know, I know there's the temptation to just say creative way to end a denounce service. Maybe even the temptation to say, wow, that was a lot of kids, a lot of time in the service. As I was praying for this morning, I was reminded that when Jesus asked Peter that question, Peter was probably not that much older than some of the kids that walked across the stage. We watch videos and we see an old bearded dude, but they were teenagers. And it was this group of teenagers that God used to change the world, as they would be taken from that place and then scattered throughout Judea to take his name and his fame to those people. And that's how Christianity spread. And the temptation can be to look at the way that something fizzles in the student's life and begin to go, well, what about next week? What about what next week? What about next week? And that's the whole point, is that we need a revelation from God just about every day. And it's not something that flesh and blood can impart. And if you still haven't realized the power behind some of those testimonies, there's one more that I want you to hear. I'm gonna invite Holly Carnahan, who leads one of our 10th grade girls groups, to share about the service project that they had yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, so I was with the 10th grade girls, and Macy and Bridget were my college students. And, you know, we do these service projects, and Friday afternoon, evening, we thought we were going to one place, and, but, you know, things change with DNOW and how many students register, and things fill up, and so my group was the only girl high school group that got taken out of that group, and we were going to go do something else. So we just had a little bit of a shift in expectations, not really knowing what was going to happen. So we had the opportunity to go to visit a family where the woman has cancer, and we were going to clean the house and you know, help out in that way. And so when we arrived, the husband, you know, let us in, and he was just so thankful and grateful that we were there, and said what a blessing it was. And then the woman came out, and she met us, and then she went back to lay down. And then we were just asking him what projects we could do, and he shared with us some things that we could do. But then also Macy had asked the girls the night before, you know, really look for an opportunity tomorrow to see if we can pray with them, spend some time with them, not just clean, but, you know, spend some time in prayer. And so I had asked him, you know, before we run out of time and we have to leave, would it be okay to pray, you know, with you and your wife? He said, yes, please, right now. Let's go do it now. And so we went into her room, and she was just so thankful. And she just began to ask the girls and all of us, you know, come up on the bed. Just come on up here. And I was so proud of our girls. And, you know, we took some time and we prayed. And we could just really sense the Holy Spirit was there. And the woman was just radiating with joy. And before we went into her room and I asked if we could pray for them, he let me know. He said, okay, that's great. And I just want to let you know, my wife, she's dying. We're at the end, and she's had cancer for 4 years. And I didn't know that part. I just thought we were going, and, you know, she was going through chemo. And anyway, so our girls were very touched and very moved, and it was just quite an experience to see this couple who was going through something so sad and tragic, but yet they were just full of God's love and joy and peace. And so then we went and we worked and did some things, and one of my things was helping four girls, and I helped organize the pantry. He said, that's really important, really wanted that done, so we wanted to get that done, and that was fun, and lots of talent over here with organizing skills. And I was just really touched. I was going through her Tupperware and her dishes, and saw some cake stands, and I just kept thinking about the cakes that she had made and for her children, and just thinking about how she was just a few years older than me, and just really touched me. And then Macy came down and said, hey, I found a guitar upstairs. Maybe we could sing. I was like, well, ask him, see if that's what he wants to do. And we had just finished the pantry, and girls were doing all kinds of things, and we asked him, hey, can we sing? And he said, Oh, she would love that. Can we just stop what you're doing? I'll finish all this. Can we spend the rest of the time in her room? So we went in there, and Macy's amazing, and she just led, like, I don't know, five songs in worship, and the woman was just soaking it in, and you could tell that she was just enjoying it so much. And then she asked if she could speak, and it was right after Macy had sang a beautiful song. When you come into the room, when you walk into the room, sorry, I don't know why. When you walk into the room, that song. And the woman just said, you know, I just want to share that this week I was asking God, Lord, I don't need another sermon. I don't need another book to read or a concept to work through. And mental processing right now can be taxing on her. But she's like, Lord, I just need to see you. I just want you to walk into my room. I just want you to come through the closet, come into my room. And then she just began to share how we were being the hands and feet of Jesus right then, that she had prayed that, and that we were all there for her. And she was just so joyful, and through such pain that she could just be so joyful. And then our girls, they began to talk, and they began to share and tell that woman how much of a blessing she was to them and to us. And it was just absolutely one of the most amazing experiences that I've ever had. And they just began to say how much we were, you know, just blessing them. And we were trying to, like, argue and say, no, 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 you blessed us. You know, our lives are changed because of this. And it's just for our girls to see that you can be going through just one of the worst things. And it may not get better on this side of heaven, but to see a woman that would say God is good and he's faithful, it just impacted our girls so much. And then we left, and I said, girls, aren't y'all so glad that we came? And they were like, yes, we're so thankful. We feel blessed because we got to come do this. And so, yeah, that's it.
I don't know what brought you to church this morning. What I do know is that every one of us are in need of a new revelation. My guess is that, or a fresh revelation, I should say. My guess is that there's some today that are dealing with a mess. And you need God to speak into that. Some of you might have come and you've just finished the mess and you're like, wow, I'm glad I'm through that. I don't want to ever have to do that again. Well, you still need God to speak into that. If you don't, haven't had to deal with a mess, just hang on, because there's probably one coming around the corner for you. And you see, the truth is, I don't have a lot to offer other than what flesh and blood cannot do. A whole lot like Peter in Acts chapter 3, when he and John are walking up the temple steps, and there's the blind, lame beggar there who is crying out, he's begging for money, and Peter says, you know what, silver and gold have I none. What I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. You see, there's something different when you have a revelation, and when you realize that, you know what, the most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. And God wants to speak into that place this morning. And it's not something that I can say. It's not something that I can produce on my own. I just want to guide you with these four questions. And then we're gonna sing and be done. But I wanted you to hear this quote this morning because the very thing that you need is for God to speak into your life right now and clarify what it is that you think about when you think about God. And so when Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, that's what I'm counting on would happen right now with these four questions. As you watch those students testify, maybe this morning you need to ask yourself, God, have you done that for me? Have you done that thing, as some of those students were testifying that their very lives they gave to Jesus. So their heart is alive for the very first time today. They're just now 24 hours old, not even yet. And so ask yourself this morning, God, have you done that thing for me? Or maybe some of us need to be reminded via revelation from God. God, remind me how you did it in my life. What did it feel like the very first time I understood that you were my Lord and Savior? God, would you bring that excitement back again? Maybe you need to ask this question. What was it like in your experience when God opened your eyes, when he revealed to you that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That one dawned on me this week, to be reminded that he had to die so that I could be free. And finally, what difference has it made in your life, in my life, that God the Father has revealed to me the true glory of his Son, Jesus Christ? Students that testified, students that experienced Jesus this week, remember this question. What difference has this weekend made? As you go out that store, as you go out those doors, hey, I'm just gonna talk to people in white shirts right now. Just this is free. I just now thought of it. But your parents want some information. Give it to them. It's okay. I know you're tired, but just share. Because that's making that's allowing there to be a difference about what God has done in your life. But for the rest of us, you've seen evidence, the proof of God working in the lives of students and in the lives of people as they were served. What difference has he made in your life that you're actively sharing outside these walls? If you feel like he hasn't done that, then I want to encourage you to maybe do it for the very first time today. So would you pray with me? God, I thank you that I can trust you to wrap up things that are all over the place, because what we need most is a revelation from you. So God, as we respond to you right now, Holy Spirit, we just give you room to work, to lead and guide us. We give you room to walk into this room and to show us who you are, to demonstrate your power. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray and believe. Amen.